Hot round! Red 7, red 7, red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the ball?
I'll get you the ball.
I want the ball. I want the ball.
I hope he didn't kill somebody.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Yeah! Between living and dying.
Yeah! I got a whole lot of money. Y'all it for me. Bottle keep popping that water, man. Y'all jacking. Yeah! It's a party, it's a party, it's a party.
It's the day after Christmas. It's the last 11 personnel of 2019, and it's almost Belk Bowl time. Adam Luckett, how are you doing today?
It's the moment we've all been waiting on, Belk Bowl. You ready to go, Charlotte?
I am. I'm going to peel back the curtain a little bit. I did about zero looking ahead to Charlotte until today, because part of it is...
You haven't even booked the hotel yet?
Okay, I'd done that. I'd got the hotel. I'd kind of figured out my loose schedule, which, you know, I can kind of tell you how that's going to go down with, like, their activities and stuff like that. But I had put off a lot of, like, prep stuff until now because it was a sprint to signing day. And then, you know, you got a lot of Christmas stuff. And the interception in the walk-ons... Bistro and Bar Independence Bowl, which that's what's going to be beautiful.
Quick note on this game. Manny Diaz was a defensive coordinator for Dan Mullen at Mississippi State. Lost to Florida first game. Defensive coordinator for Mack Brown at Texas. Lost to North Carolina. He was a defensive coordinator for Skip Holtz at Louisiana Tech. And though now they're down 7-0. What's it, third quarter?
Yeah. And Jaren Williams just threw a pick. Yeah, so we're going to be giving you updates throughout this because it's the one good thing we have about this next week is bowl season. And this bowl game has been electric. We've got to see Tathan, my favorite quarterback ever, dancing around trying to make people miss and realizing, like, ooh, you're not that fast, buddy.
It's a warm-up tonight. It really gets going tomorrow, Friday the 27th.
Dude, Cheez-It Bowl? Mm-hmm. Holy crap, that game's going to be electric. Washington State, Air Raid versus triple option of Air Force. It doesn't get any
Clash of Styles. And then you've got some good games tomorrow. North Carolina Temple kicks it off, but you also got Oklahoma State, A&M. Big 12 foes.
That'll be fun. I mean, as long as...
Clash of Styles, Michigan State, Wake Forest. And then there's one other... Oh, Iowa, USC.
Ooh, that'll be good.
You don't want to lose that one, Clay Hilton. Try to get some momentum going in the offseason. But yeah, I mean, four games on.
I was going to punch him in the face. They're a bunch of pretty boys versus
kids. Yeah, they're chomping at the bit to go play that one.
Yeah, is that the Sun Bowl?
Holiday Bowl. So that's Holiday at like 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Or Friday night, you'll be listening. The listeners will be hearing it on Friday.
Yes, yes. I'm excited for that Friday slate of games. So you can kind of laugh at us reacting to that game as it's happening. But as I said, it was just a lot of getting to Christmas parties last week. I think I had starting Friday night. This is the first time since Friday I haven't had at least one, sometimes two Christmas parties to attend. So it's kind of my voice is gone. I'm screaming at my family because that's what we do. We just scream at each other, play games, and scream. How was Vegas?
Vegas was fun.
All right.
Other than the game.
I got to give you credit for something because you, sir, had a tweet that should be in the Twitter Hall of Fame. And that
I think I know where you're going.
That tweet was the Venn diagram for it. It's a very narrow Venn diagram, but it is the most perfect tweet in the history of this website.
Few people in the circle have to know.
It is... From the Kentucky-Ohio State game, and that is college basketball officials love calling charges more than Oklahomans love Texas Roadhouse.
That's a lot of love.
It's a lot of love. Because if y'all, Oklahoma, where Adam Luckett was born and raised in the south side of the Jefferson County, there's a Texas Roadhouse on the corner of Outer Loop and I-65. It is the busiest Texas Roadhouse in America.
Mm-hmm.
They it was already big, and they had to blow out a wall and expand it, and it's still always busy. Because Oklahomans, they love their Texas Roadhouse.
From open to close, every day of the week. Snow, shine, wind, or rain.
Doesn't matter.
That place is always packed. So, and it's a big joke, yeah, for us that live out there about how packed it is. But that just was the perfect storm. We got a little ref show at the beginning of that game.
Oh, yeah.
And then it just, you know, sometimes you have your moments where it just hits you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a moment. Didn't you have, what was yours? You had one where you went at, was it with Donovan Mitchell? Or you went at bat at a player, I think? Or was
Lamar
that
Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
yes. TJ was Donovan Mitchell, I think.
TJ went after Donovan Mitchell. Right. But, you know, so sometimes you just hit home runs, and you hit a home run with that Texas Roadhouse tweet. I'm actually so inspired. I'm getting Texas Roadhouse after this podcast. So, big night in the Roadhouse.
One of the gifts was a Texas Roadhouse gift card.
That's what we're doing. We're using
send him a wallet. Cards. There you go.
Because you just got to change things up. Well, a lot of holiday ham.
You're in the middle of between, you know, should I get the gift cards that's burning a hole in my wallet, mm-hmm. or should I, you know, take care of all these leftovers that I've got a gazillion of? You're kind of in that weird medium right
now. It's one of those things where, like, I gotta get off the leftovers for a little while because I can tell I'm getting fat just based on.
Like, y'all do the same food for Thanksgiving as you do Christmas?
No. We do different. But when you go to all the different parties, it's the same kind of food.
Right.
And I got to tell you, Luckett, in my older age, I've come to realize that my favorite part of holiday parties, shrimp cocktail. I don't know what it is, but there's like three or four now that like I go back to that well. And if I don't have five, then have I even lived? No.
No.
And it tastes so good with bourbon. You get the little horseradish. Oh, so good. So I'm just I could tell I didn't step on the scale today. I know that I've passed a new milestone in a new PR.
Pants are fitting a little tighter.
But it's really this hat. I'm wearing a Power K hat. It's not really a Power K. It's close enough. But a hat that I got. It's the only fitted hat I have. Got in college. It's a lot tighter. I haven't worn it in a while. And when your head's getting fat, that's when you're getting too fat. So I guess I hope the media hotel has an exercise room because I need to get on an elliptical, which that is the official workout of football guys, the elliptical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Low impact.
I messed with the elliptical.
I was.
I thought you were going to go with bloggers.
No, football guys. Because, okay. Like, the coaches, you know, they watch film all on the elliptical.
Right.
Yeah.
Two things at once.
Exactly. Which I'm sure they've been doing a lot of this week. Getting ready for Virginia Tech. We can talk more about the fun bowl games and all that stuff later. But we got to start with the meat and potatoes of this podcast, and that's previewing the Hokies and the Belk Bowl. And, you know, we've been having a lot of fun. You were out winning money. Did you win any money in Vegas?
No. We were going to – if Kentucky would have won that game, we would have won probably a couple hundred bucks. Mm. But that went the other way on us. Because I actually did hit on Washington pretty good chunk for the Las Vegas Bowl.
Do you have a money line on Kentucky? Is that what it was?
Yeah, we bet the money. Put a pretty good chunk on the money line.
That was the play to make too.
A couple units.
God.
Well, you gotta. I mean, if you're gonna go out there, you might as well do it. You know.
Also, is it hard for you to flip the switch for basketball? Like to get really into it. Obviously, you're at the game, so you're gonna get a lot more hyped.
Right. But the atmosphere, it's kind of weird there because the arena just feels empty.
Did they block off the top?
They blocked off an end zone,
okay.
One of the end zones. But there's just open seats everywhere. Now you have to remember a lot of North Carolina fans, you know, are bouncing as soon as that game's over.
Right.
But it just feels kind of – it feels empty, I guess, is what you were saying. There was
you get rowdy fans, but it's not like, you know, big
right.
game.
Everybody's having a good time drinking the – $17 beers, whatever they were in there. But I don't know. They're just not that, I guess, that juice that you would expect in a game like that. I heard that like 2 years ago when they played North Carolina out there, everybody talked about how awesome that was.
Yeah.
But I didn't get the same sense at all in this one.
I still give my buddy hell because he ended up playing craps with Roy Williams after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, dude, how do you not talk trash to Roy? I mean, like, I get it. You're at the craps table. It's different. But you got to be like – So, could have fouled him, you know. Could have fouled Monk. I mean, you could have put him
at
the line.
Oh, I saw him after the game?
Yeah, after the game at the crap table. Like, I would have been drawn a little bit. But there's also a, like, respect the casino, the sanctity of it, you know?
Right, right.
Because you also don't want to avoid bad. Like, he played it cool enough. Oh! Oh!
Oh, no.
Oh, no! You idiot!
Six minutes, he whiffed so bad.
Is he going to go all the way? Oh, wow.
I don't know. That was even.
Oh man. So Louisiana Tech threw an interception on a screen pass to Miami.
I believe it was fourth down, like around the fringe of the red zone.
Oh, yeah. They were just getting ready to get
Sebastian
scoring territory.
Sebastian is going nuts.
And Miami.
Yeah, they were in the red zone.
Yeah.
Wide receiver screen just jumped it.
Almost goes the length of the field. He ends up lateraling it when he's about to get tackled. Oh, that.
That's close.
They got it all the way down inside their own 30. What a crazy, stupid, awesome, dumb afternoon bowl.
Let's see how Miami messes this up.
Man, shout out to, of all the bowl games I watched last week, that Kent State one was electric to watch.
Yeah, I was on the wrong side of that one, but that was a fun game to watch.
It was funny. Yeah, I was on the wrong side of that too, but it was fun to watch that one.
Your first ever bowl win too, Kent State's.
Coming to the Croak next year. Yeah, they're
are they one of them?
Yeah, it's Kent.
I knew Eastern Michigan
Kent
was one.
And the Emus.
We open with the Emus.
Yeah. Get a little Branham Bros matchup. All
right.
Hashtag Branham Bros. But yeah, I just, during that game, look at my wife's family's all Ohio State fans, and yeah. I'm hanging out with them beforehand.
Are they like big basketball fans too, or is it just kind of like it's Ohio State,
you
know, so we'll cheer for them?
Yes, they are, because like. One of her cousins is actually, or two of them are still at Ohio State, have season tickets to basketball.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, and they were, if they didn't have that Christmas party to go to, they were going to Vegas. They're actually going the next day because they have family out there. So, they were some big Buckeye fans.
Right.
They're kind of talking a little bit, but not too much because I'm wearing my UK Santa hat. Was, of course, I had to. And just going into that game, I kept telling them, like, it's not going to happen. Not, you know, y'all are going to. Ohio State's going to win. Ohio State's going to win. Then I get to watching the game, and it's just brutal. It's just ugly basketball. And I think it might be easier for me to flip the switch if it was pretty basketball, but it wasn't. It's like, make shots.
It's hard to flip that football switch, like you say, because once you flip it, it's over.
Yeah, and I don't want to flip it yet.
Right.
And you know what my biggest thing is like it? Is I know what to expect from your University of Kentucky football Wildcats. This is how we're going to make the full segue over, because I know that Kentucky is going to line up and run the damn football.
That's right.
They're going to run the ball. They're going to possess it. They're going to get after the quarterback on drop back pass. They're going to stop the run. And basically, their whole goal is to control the ball, and then try to make you get big plays on. You got to be explosive against Kentucky to have a shot, because they'll give up a couple.
Right. Big play at its core, Kentucky's big play prevention. Make a team go 12, 14 plays and make them go long fields. Don't give them short fields. Make them earn points.
Punt to win. And
if you have to.
When I looked at this team on paper, I kept trying to. I was doing this thing like it, where I was like, I was going through the stats, and just in each of all the different categories, and I'm trying to figure out, all right, what the hell is Virginia Tech good at? We got Bud Foster and his lunch pail. We know about his lunch pail. It's his great defense. They're just average at pretty much everything. Like I struggle to find one thing.
They're an ACC team.
and
this year they won 8 games. And they got hot at the end of the year. Hendon Hooker is the guy they put in. And they went on a nice little 6-0 run with him as a starter. And they play complimentary football. They get it from both sides. But when you look at their numbers and when you watch the tape, they're a bowl team. They deserve to be a bowl team.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about that. But they're not a team that's going to wow you in any one specific way. Like, I didn't – like, when I went to dive in, I was thinking Hooker maybe. You look at his size, he's like 6'4", 230. I was like,
he's a big dude.
They're going to run the ball. Maybe he's going to bowl some people over. I didn't really see that. Mm-hmm. They're an offense that they want to have balance, but they want to lean run heavy. Even they average 44.3 runs to 24.7 passes, but they play at a quick tempo. They only had a couple games where they had less than 70 snaps, so they want to they want to kind of move fast, but they're inefficient in the run game. But even with all that, they do that so it allows them to take deep shots. And that's one thing they have done well is when you look at them, that Hooker's averaging 10.3 yards per attempt on 140 passes. So that tells me they're getting a lot of big plays through the air. And then you just look at their receivers, and a lot of their receivers are averaging, you know, over 15 yards per catch. So that's the big thing, but it plays into Kentucky's hands, I think, right there. Because what Kentucky does best is that pass defense and prevent big pass plays.
Yeah.
So I think that plays to Kentucky's strength. And then when you look on the other side of the football for Virginia Tech, first thing that jumps out is they have 9 defensive linemen that have recorded at least 15 tackles this year. So they have depth on that line of scrimmage.
They're rolling dudes.
They're not super huge, and none of them really impresses you that much, but they're rolling guys in and out. And then when you look at their run stuffers in the middle, both inside linebackers are over 230 pounds. They play a 4-2-5 scheme, but they have 2 big safeties over 220 pounds, and they have a nickel who puts up Mike Edwards-type numbers, where he's defending the run, defending the pass, making a lot of tackles. So it's going to be a challenge for Kentucky.
Is that
Diablo? Diablo is their free safety, Devon okay. Diablo. Their nickel is Chamari Connor. Okay. 62 tackles, 10 tackles for loss, 8 pass breakups, 7 quarterback hurries, 211 pounds.
So that guy and Ashby.
Rayshard Ashby.
Yeah, which mm-hmm. I.
Second team all ACC.
I typed that name 4 times a day. Mm-hmm. Still can't get it in my big thick skull. But dude has 14 and a half tackles for loss.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
And 10 of them were on run plays. So then he had 4.5 sacks. So he does it both ways in the pass and in the run. And then Freddie wrote a good piece on him today. He's he's a bowling ball of an inside linebacker. I think he's listed at 5'8". And that might be 5'8 or 5'9", and that might be pushing it. So 230, I think he's 237 pounds. Yeah, he's just, you know, a ball of momentum rolling towards you. And he is, you know, I think the biggest key to their defense, because we've seen in this Kentucky offense when defensive linemen have been able to hold up blocks, that's allowed some interior linebackers, Daniel Petulia at Tennessee, Nick Bolton a little bit from Missouri, David Reese even before Bolden Ball with Florida, it's allowed them to collect a ton of tackles. And this is a guy that on paper should be able to collect a lot of those tackles if Kentucky's guys inside, guard, center, guard, aren't able to get movement and get to the second level.
Yeah, and if you look at in that piece, Freddie said he was a key. He looked at some of that Virginia game to see how they were successful.
The only thing with that Virginia game is a lot of that Bryce Perkins run game is a lot of draw and scramble, QB scramble, where Bolden it's going to be a little bit different, and Bolden's going to run in between the tackles more.
Well,
but yeah, I mean, I think his point there though was Ashby has some athleticism, I guess you would call restraints.
Yeah.
So if he's having to go out and not make plays inside the box, that should be a advantage.
That's asking
Kentucky.
A lot. Right. If you can get out, get to the edges, and I'm struggling to remember what game it was in Bowdoin Ball. I don't think it was the Arkansas game. I think it was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one where they did a good job trying to get out of the edges. I could see them if – Kentucky has the ability to do that if need be, but you're also facing a 4-2-5 team that's got a bunch of DBs, so you should be able to run right at them.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing that, like, when I did go through and find something that jumped out at me, they're good in the red zone, both offensive and defensive.
Great kicker.
They finish drives. I think they're converting about 70% of the time.
They're 7th overall in red zone offense efficiency, scores in the red zone.
Pretty good.
But then when you look at touchdown rate, they're down at 38th. So they're kicking a fair amount of field goals.
Yes.
But they've had some ball security issues. They've lost 14 fumbles this season.
Man.
As a team. And then on defense, they've forced 21 turnovers, but 17 of those are interceptions. Their secondary, they've got ball hawks.
Mm-hmm. So, but Kentucky's don't need to worry about that.
Right. Kentucky, you know, in theory, is not going to throw it that many times. So Vantage plays Kentucky, and then – when I watch Virginia Tech on defense, if I had to compare them to one Kentucky scene, it would be Tennessee because they got the bodies up front. They're going to roll them in and out. And then they've got some playmakers at linebacker and in the secondary.
I just can't have another Daniel Petulia game.
But the difference is Tennessee.
Don't let that happen.
Tennessee does not give up big plays on the ground. That's what they do best. Virginia Tech ranked 70th in the country, in 20-plus yard runs allowed, 17, 55th in 30-plus yard runs allowed. So that's advantage Kentucky. So that when I look at that number, because when you look at the run defense just in general, they're 31st in yards per carry allowed. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think they can be a little susceptible to the big play because in that 4-2-5, they're going on blitzes with the safety and mixing stuff up.
Right, right.
And I think they're going to have times where they blow stuff Kentucky does up. Like you could see a couple three and outs, like a la the Missouri game, but I think you could also see
you got guys a big just running play, into a wall of
right,
bodies.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But you can also blitz your, like, there's nothing better than when you watch them run like a stunt away from, like, you just got the whole defensive line sight in one way.
And you run a counter the other way.
Yeah. Oh, God. It is a thing of beauty. Miami's getting ready.
Miami didn't score, by the way.
Yeah, they didn't score. They're punting on 4th and 14. They're getting ready to fire their offensive coordinator. And Jaren Williams, I don't know what he thought. He was
punting from the 39.
I don't know. Like, imagine if Jaren Williams had an offensive line or an offensive coordinator. He's going to have three different offensive coordinators in his 4 years, I think. They got Nikosi Perry in the game. What a disaster.
What'll be his third in 3 years?
At least their punter has a lot of cool tattoos. Third in 3 years. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
I'll be very interested to see who Diaz hires.
Yeah, he needs somebody. The other big stat. The one that really jumps off the page more than anything, and this is where you've got to talk me off a ledge, Luckett. What's up with it? They've been terrible against running quarterbacks. And, like, not even good ones either. The guy at Duke had 100 rushing yards against him. They lost to Duke 45-10 at home. I know that this was earlier in the season, but it's 45-10 at home. So, please, Luckett, I want to just say, damn it, this is an ACC team that has, like, I'm getting to the formulating the opinion that Kentucky finally drew a brand name that's actually not good.
Mm-hmm.
They've been drawing a lot of good, not brand names in previous years. You had Georgia Tech, and you had Northwestern, who were really good teams, but nobody cares about. You just think they stink because of their name. Well, Virginia Tech, everybody thinks they're good, but there's a reason why Fuente's getting rid of three people. And, like, is Bud Foster, quote-unquote, retiring, or is he being forced out? I mean, he wouldn't let his right-hand man, the defensive line guy, Charlie Wiles, mm-hmm. I believe his name, he wouldn't let him play in the last game. He's like, you're getting out of here, buddy. You can stay, but the guy was like, dude, screw you. I'm getting the hell out of here. So I think there's a reason why they're having all this shift change. I mean, you gave up 100 rushing yards to Duke's quarterback. I just can't – I can't get over that. I can't get over a couple other numbers I wrote down. Yeah, the guy for UVA, Bryce Perkins, had 164 yards and 2 touchdowns. Almost 9 yards a carry. Old Dominion's quarterback had 2 touchdowns and 50 yards, probably more if it wasn't for the sack. I didn't go into that much detail. And Ian Books, he's not exactly an athlete. He's even getting 50 yards on him. So I'm just at the point, oh, they're showing Frank Beamer getting carried off the field at the Independence Bowl.
That was the last game, I think, a few years ago.
Thoughts and prayers in. But I'm having a hard time seeing why, other than name alone, I would just say, oh, I guess Bud Foster. Bud Foster game. How are they going to be able to stop Bowden Ball?
Two words with Virginia Tech just to kind of give a recap of their season. Youth movement. There was a lot of bad stuff going on with Fuente last year. There was reports coming out after the season that there were some, upperclassmen that didn't want to win. They had to win and beat Marshall in a rescheduled game because of storms.
Yeah, it was like a hurricane.
So they had to play conference championship weekend, and they had to win that game to continue their bowl streak. This will be 27. It's the longest active streak, and mm-hmm. now that Florida State went out last year. So there were a lot of guys that was a rumor. I think, I believe it was Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated that reported it. So
So
all that stuff is just swirling around Fuente. They come out. They lose to Boston College first game. They play with their food. They mess around with some FCS opponents. And then on a Friday night, Duke goes into Blacksburg and kicks their teeth in. So I think, really, Fuente probably made some grown-up decisions then. They decided to get really young. And by really young, what I mean is two true freshmen starting on the offensive line. One is from Scott County.
Brian Hudson.
Brian Hudson's their starting center. They have one senior that starts, and that's on defense. That's Reggie Floyd, one of those big safeties I was talking about. Everyone else should be coming back next year. So they just went all youth movement. They went.
They got rid of the old guard. Is
right.
What they did.
Right. They went all. They went young, and they went down and got a victory at Miami. And then Hooker played well, and then they just kind of rode some momentum to end the season. So for me, when I look at them, you kind of have to throw those games out because they're just a different team for the rest of the season.
That's fair. That's fair.
Kind of like when you look at Kentucky, you can't even. I don't even like to look at the defensive numbers from earlier in the season, like before Bowden took over, because it's just different. They were playing a lot more snaps than
playing,
they are now.
Getting behind the chains,
right,
with turnovers and whatnot. So that adds up now. And I needed that answer because when I was just looking at the raw numbers, I'm like, what the hell? None of this makes sense. But it also makes me less the easy storyline for this game is that we're going to win one for the Gipper. And while that's all good and nice and all, I think that, like, it really is pretty inconsequential as to what's actually going to happen in the game.
First things first, bowl games are weird. Louisiana Tech's winning 7-0, 7 minutes in the fourth quarter. They're hard to handicap, man, because you don't know how that motivation's going to work. Which team's going to be excited to be in North Carolina? Which team is not going to be excited? And all of that. Is it going to be a rally of the troops moment for Bud Foster, or do they have that moment already when they pitched a shutout against Pittsburgh in the last home game at Lane Stadium for Bud Foster?
Carried them off the field, right?
Are they ready to move on? It's with their new defensive coordinator who's on the staff right now, Justin Hamilton, who's their secondary coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that kind of stuff's in play.
And I think it also, you have to consider the other side with Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they were going to Jacksonville. I'm sure most of the team thought that. Hey, really? We got to go to Charlotte now? We're going to sit in a NASCAR?
Like, right.
We're going – like, it's basically the NASCAR Bowl, what I've come to realize, too.
My brother, two of his friends played at Louisville, and they went to the Belk Bowl twice.
Yeah.
And the way they talked about it, it wasn't their best bowl experience.
Well, this is also the second time that they've been. Virginia Tech went in 2016.
Right, 2 years ago.
And,
or 3 years ago.
And that was the infamous Arkansas shoplifting situation during the Belk shopping spree.
Jeremy Sprinkle.
Yeah.
And they had a 24-point comeback, Virginia Tech did.
Yeah, largest comeback in school history. So I think there's questions on either side about motivation. But if there's any motivation in doubt, I like to lean on a big-ass offensive line.
Right. Well, when you look at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, Kentucky's going to have an advantage against a deep Virginia Tech defensive line, but not overly big and not overly talented. And then on the offensive side of the football, Virginia Tech's really young. Not only did they target those two freshmen, but their other three starters are sophomores.
Ooh.
And now they have some size. All of them are over 300 pounds, it looks like. But I think Kentucky has the advantage with their front against Virginia Tech.
With a bunch of old dudes who are playing in their last game.
Right.
You know, I mean, does TJ Carter and Calvin Taylor want to leave on a loss?
This Virginia Tech offensive line should be good, but they're not at that level yet. So I think that should be advantage Kentucky. When you've seen them play against good defensive lines, Virginia, Notre Dame, this is a group that has struggled a bit.
I think that something that's going to be important too is you talk about Virginia Tech wanting to take shots. This is a secondary where there's a lot of guys who they were paying attention on signing day to who got signed.
It's true.
They were looking at who's coming in this spring, the guys that are practicing early in these bowl practices, because you got to think, there's maybe like 5 of the 15, 10 of them they treat like a spring practice, give or take. I mean, most of this is, let's get the young guys involved. There's a lot of guys who are playing in the secondary this year that will not be next year. And they have to use this bowl game as a tryout to say, look what I did on tape. I deserved to be playing next year. And that's where, if you want motivation to be a factor or anything along those lines, I'm confident Kentucky secondary is going to play well. That's a long way for me to get to that.
And they're not going to have weather in their factor, it looks like, this week.
Forecast, it's going to be 60 like every day we're down there.
Have you seen the Jacksonville forecast for
Is it nasty?
77 and sunny. It's going to be it rains the next day, but it's looking like that game's going to be played on
perfect conditions.
As good as it can get there that time of year.
Yeah.
So either way, they're playing in decent weather. I think it's going to be looking like 52 and sunny with a little wind at kickoff for Kentucky Virginia Tech. So
plenty of time to change between that.
Pretty good forecast for Charlotte on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, before the game. So I kind of alluded to this is like the NASCAR Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's all Charlotte has is banks and NASCAR because their stadium.
Coca-Cola.
Is that Coke's in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So NASCAR, Coke's bigger in Atlanta, but close enough. Their Saturday schedule. I'm just going to explain their Saturday schedule. At 11:30, they've got the NASCAR experience at Charlotte Motor Speedway. So both teams will be there. They're going to have a tire changing contest with pit crews and everything. So they're going to have a pit crew off. They also, each player gets to go 3 laps around, which is going to be pretty cool, but there's going to be a lot of sitting around and waiting to go around 3 times.
Right.
You know. And so that's in the morning. At night, they're having their Belk Bowl shopping spree at like 6:30. So that means the only time they can practice on Saturday is Saturday afternoon at 3:30. At 3:45, Kentucky and Louisville tip off in basketball, and at 4 o'clock, college football playoff kicks off. So that was the hand they got dealt by the Belk Bowl folks, who, by the way, the Belk Bowl people, they're losing their title sponsor, the Charlotte Sports Commission. So they're searching for a title sponsor, and that's what they're pitching to their teams this year is their big day of fun. Is that Saturday?
I think they've always done that race thing and then the Belk shopping spree.
But on that Saturday.
Oh. Yeah,
I'm just unhappy. I mean, I'm selfish in like, I got to download some app to watch the UK game. But nonetheless, it's still like that's a busy day when that's a day that you would rather just be sitting around.
I'm guessing it's
the hotel pool.
It's kind of the only day you can do it is probably 2 days before the two. So that would be 3 days before the game?
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking that, you know, it'd be their normal Thursday kind of walkthrough. They would do it that day where you have that Thursday light practice.
It's weird.
During the Wednesday heavy practice. So
the following day, they're doing a charity event, and then they have, get this, like it, you'll never believe where they're having their big dual team dinner at.
Oh no! Shoot.
NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Hey, Richard Petty will be there.
Yeah, maybe so. So they're going to the NASCAR Hall of Fame. They'll probably do like a chicken wing in contest.
Right.
There's nothing more embarrassing than Mike Edwards' hot chicken eater.
What did they do in Orlando last year? What was the thing down there?
They went to Universal.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And they also, their charity event was, that was one of the cooler things, is they went to like, you know, the county fair version of an amusement park in Orlando, and they took like, they teamed up and took little kids with them.
Yeah, I remember that.
On the charities.
I remember
that was really cute. They had one other thing that was pretty cool. Dave and Buster's.
Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess they're trading Dave and Buster's for Belk. You know, whatever.
Never been to Belk.
Their own. Yeah, me neither. I'm going to have to go because just to say I've been. I've never been to a Belk. I've seen the mannequins. They always – Belk would sponsor a lunch at SEC Media Days, and you have mannequins dressed in their Belk attire, which I believe is just pastels. And,
right.
And like –
have you ever seen the patterns Jim McElwain Belk commercial?
Oh, God. See, I at least missed a lot of them because they were on the SEC Network broadcast. So I was at least, you know, lucky enough to
– Well, I mean, it's your typical what would be on kind of Jefferson Pilot commercial, but – it's just awkward Jim McElwain getting dressed up by ladies of Belk.
You really need like a golden flake. You know, that's old school JP.
Oh, yeah.
But as for the game, the day before for fans, so the place they call this, they call it the Epicenter. And
I think they have, for those Louisvillians going down there, like the model of 4th Street Live came from this, I'm pretty sure. Maybe the same architect or something.
It's EPA, and then instead of just Epicenter, it's a capital C and then the T-R-E instead of T-E-R, so it's fancy. But that's going to be the spot. It, definitely the day before, because that's where they have the pep rallies are going to be.
Right.
December 30th from 7 to 11. So that should be fun. I will definitely be there for that. And I'll probably be there a lot because I hear there's a lot of different places to check out there. So that should be exciting. And then
– that's where you find your watering holes.
During the – in the mornings too, we're bringing the radio equipment down there. I'm doing radio with TJ, Kentucky Roll Call. If you haven't listened to us, do that. We got a bunch of different ways to listen. I tweet it out every morning. It goes from 7 to 9, and we have a podcast on iTunes.
Y'all doing it Monday and Tuesday or just Monday?
Yeah, so Tuesday, we're going to be a 7 a.m. pregame show.
There you go.
So, yeah, are up and at them early. It should be a good time. I think we're just going to be doing them from the Marriott Hotel lobby. That's where the media hotel is. So.
Probably easiest that way.
Yeah, yeah. But, so, there's a lot happening down there. I'm sure there's some sort of, like, there's got to be some sort of alumni association that does a Charlotte. UofL, like for like UK UofL game.
Yeah, there'll be something down there. I'm sure UK will tweet it out later this week.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll get that to you on KSR. But I'm excited to check out someplace new. I'm going to gas up the Cats real hard because the thing that does stink about this like it is like it's our last game with Lynn Bowden.
Yeah.
Like that's a bummer.
It's gonna be the end of an all time run. These last, what, seven games?
Yeah.
What he's put on.
Man.
So, yeah. It's going to – hopefully they can send him out with a win.
I was we were getting together some, like, superlatives for a post that we're doing with Freddie.
Do you get an open practice down there?
Yeah, that's what the open practice is. So, I'm going to be, like, trying to open practice Cats and Cards and open practice.
Oh, it's during that time?
Yeah.
Damn.
And also, too, open practices for bowl games. It's a lot of hanging out.
Right.
Yeah.
Better than nothing.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like open summer practice.
Right. Where you get to see actual real practice.
It was kind of fun last year because it was all those seniors just like, you know, hanging out. Josh Allen, Mike Edwards. Just right. Like, they know that like this is the last hurrah. So they're just having a good time. I'm interested to see some of these young kids because we just haven't seen them.
Right.
You know, like Justin Weaver Jr. He's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Casey, those guys, they're pretty good. So,
and Devonshire, some of those guys we really haven't seen at all.
No, not at all. Did you hear what Picoro said on KSR last week?
I did not.
Yeah. We found out what Sawyer Smith's injury was.
What was it?
Dislocated shoulder or separated shoulder, whatever it was. I'm assuming non-throwing arm if he came back in. And then it was broken bone in the wrist.
Wrist.
Yeah.
That's what I figured. I knew it was something along
those lines. It was shoulder and a wrist.
So left dislocation of the shoulder.
Yeah, and I think right wrist.
Right wrist. He said broken bone in the right wrist?
Yeah. It's brutal, man.
Yeah. So I was telling some people during the South Carolina game, I was like, man, you know, people were getting mad at him. I was like, this guy's hurt. I'm assuming he hurt that shoulder against Mississippi State at the end.
Yeah.
Because he went into the locker room in that Mississippi State second half.
That,
and then they thought they were going to have to play Walker Wood, but mm-hmm. I think Mississippi State had a long possession, so he came out of the locker room in time, and they said he was going to get x-rays, I'm pretty sure. But you know how Kentucky is. They're pretty mute on all that stuff.
Yeah. It also, didn't it kind of make you wish that, like, if they just said what it was, it would have been better for the kid and all parties involved?
It's just how they operate college ball. It's all strategy.
You just got to get used to it, I guess.
Yeah, there's nothing you can really do about it. And Stoops comes from that Jimbo tree, so we're lucky we get anything at all.
That's true. I don't expect anything from those guys.
But, yeah, it'd be nice if they had like if we had a legit injury report like the NFL does where they have to release something each day.
They'd be pretty neat.
But then if we also had that, we could go to we could go to training camp for the first 3 weeks too. Which would be nice every day.
Yeah, just to see him.
Yeah.
Man, and I have a throw. Like, the more I've talked today, the more I hate. Like, I also did all the talking at the holiday party, so I'm not in a talking mood. So forgive me for not being more juiced up right now. I'm one of those two. I'm a big Christmas music fan. I just get so bummed out when it's not on. So I'm going to be a lot more gassed up once we actually get down to Charlotte. Get to Belk Bowl.
That adrenaline rush will hit you once you pull into the city.
So, We're going to hear a lot about the lunch pail defense like it.
Yeah, that's something I was going to bring up.
Can you just kind of give us like a, you know, I'm assuming that it was just the turnover chain before the turnover chain.
Yeah, kind of. Frank Beamer and Bud Foster, they kind of just wanted to build like this blue-collar type defense. So at some point, they found this old rickety lunchbox from the coal mines.
Yeah, they actually had to like do a lot of – the one story I stumbled across it from like the Roanoke Times was that like they went into knick-knack shops like pretty much all over West Virginia, Virginia, and Kentucky trying to find the perfect lunch pail.
Here's the story. 1995, Foster served as co-DC with Rod Sharpless, whose mother-in-law found the original lunch pail in Mercerville, Virginia, New Jersey. The pail once belonged to a coal miner, and after a record-setting defensive season, the lunch pail became an iconic part of Hokies lore. So I guess it was just kind of like something they grabbed that year as kind of a rallying cry or whatever, like the turnover chain.
Right, right.
And it just...
it stuck.
Yeah, it's been a sticky point ever since. And it travels with them every game. And you'll see them on the sideline. One player gets to carry it out. That's kind of like their honor there.
And I think that's Ashby is their guy who
carried it like all season. It's usually like their dude on defense, yeah.
Yeah. And the guy I mentioned previously, Charlie Wells, their defensive line coach who won't be at the game, Bud Foster said he's giving Wiles the lunch pail after the game. So he's going to get to keep it. At the end of the era for the lunch pail defense. Which, I think if you played out a few scenarios like it, we could have a Frank Beamer meme, 0-0 going into overtime.
Oh, yeah, I could definitely see that.
Like, because bowl games, A, get weird, but... you got two really good defensive teams, and you got a Virginia Tech team that's turned the ball over a lot. Mm-hmm. What if Lynn Bowden gets a little loose with it? What if Kentucky's like, screw it, Eddie Grant's like, we're going to throw it a little bit more just to throw off Bud Foster? Because if you think about times when Eddie Grant's had these big matchups, he does outsmart himself sometimes. He did it real bad in Texas A&M last year.
I thought about that, but Tech has so many ball hawks in that secondary. I just don't think this is the opponent for it.
Gotcha. Which you're probably right, but really nothing would surprise me in this game. I think the one thing that would surprise me is a blowout just because Kentucky's got him up front, and I think that just mitigates a lot of chance for any sort of
lopsided
effort.
Blowout either way. A win by more than two touchdowns either way would shock me. Two touchdowns, I think, be stretching it.
I would love... just absolutely love a nice, like that first Tennessee drive. What was it, like 16 plays?
17 plays.
Took up 12 minutes of time.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a lot of fun to just really set the tone early on. And Mark Stoops, he's typically a kicking guy.
At some point in this game, both these head coaches are going to get into kind of a field position battle. At some point, you're going to see, I think, 3 to 4 to 5 punts traded back and forth. And their punter is averaging over 46 yards an attempt, 46.7 yards. So he's a really good punter, too, on top of what Duffy does. So I think that could be a key in the game. At some point in the middle, I think we're going to get into a little bit of a punt fest. But who ends up winning that punt fest? Whether it's
who wins the
field position, who gets the big return. All of that, I think, oh, no. Is that fourth down?
If you are not watching the Independence Bowl, oh, man, we just had four flags fly in like 6 seconds. There was a very bad hold, and then when they went to sack Nikosi Perry, he juked away, and they just like almost ripped his head off by his face mask. Wow, what a play. God, this is almost like Cheez-It Bowl of last year.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and watch this one.
Yeah, because it's pretty ridiculous. Man, I really hope the Fighting Chris Creightons. I've tried to get a couple people to give me Eastern Michigan tonight. Nobody will take it. Nobody wants to bet against
both these games.
The brick wall.
Both defense. These games tonight, or yesterday, as you're listening, are interesting because it's two G5 teams playing a Power 5 team in their own backyard.
Yeah.
Rustin to Independence, where the to Shreveport, where the Independence Bowl is. It's like an hour away. Ypsilanti is just like 40 minutes to Detroit.
If that. Eastern, it's if basically that, a suburb. Right. Right,
yeah. And they're playing Pitt, who I don't think Pitt's going to be bringing too many people to Detroit.
And the Pitt in Eastern Michigan, though, are the perfect just like ugly style.
It's going to be awesome.
They're 12-point favorites, though. Who did the drugs and started betting?
It's because Eastern Michigan's defense is bad this year.
Oh, well. I still got my glass bowl. How have I forgotten? Like that shows you where my brain's at right now. The brick wall. What are they? Blue collar.
The factory.
The factory. Gosh, I could not think of the damn name. Oh, interception!
Kelsey Perry threw an interception.
This is electric. Gosh, bowl season's great. Which this is the part of the podcast where I should plug that. If you're watching these games at KS Bar, you can predict each one for a chance to win $5,000. It's pretty easy.
So do you have to get the score right?
You don't even have to get it right. You just have to be the closest one of the people at the bar at the time, and then you're a finalist who shows up for the college football playoff game, and whoever gets closest then wins $5,000.
Let me ask you something, Nick.
Yes.
The bowl trip, the players get perks. Do the media get any perks?
Ooh, good question. So I'm interested what this one is. But Citrus Bowl media perks were electric. So at the Citrus Bowl, they had a hospitality suite that was pretty much open 24/7 for media, which is they got coolers full of beer. And
that's just in the hotel?
Yeah. It's just like a suite at a hotel that's got cooler full of beer.
People can go and hang out in, I guess?
Yeah, and they got snacks, and then sometimes they'll have food catered like at different parts of the day. So like after the game, after the bowl game, we came back and didn't have to worry about food. We could just kind of crash, eat, have a couple beers, and, you know, go to sleep.
Do whatever, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But what was really cool is they had media outings last year at the Citrus Bowl. And one of those was Dave and Buster's, all you could play, and like a little buffet of like chicken fingers and, you know, food, you know, Dave and Buster's food. And you could like, I could plus one my wife too. So like we ate, drank, had a good time, and then played games for as long nice as we could for there. An hour. And then they had a college football playoff watching party. That's probably why I'm so upset that UK's open practice is during it this time.
Yeah,
because last year they just had it at they rented out a room at a bar.
You'll get to see all the big
media
game,
just tore it up. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah,
I saw something where the Ohio State Clemson game, half the money, like almost even split at 50-50. It was like 50.4% to 50.6% of the money was split in that game on where the money was going.
Oh yeah,
Clemson -2.
In Vegas, I have heard a few people that love Clemson and a few other people love Ohio State. So
yeah, I just go back to, even though Ohio State's been kind of backsliding a little bit, I see that as they're playing their best teams and they know what it's like to get punched in the mouth. Whereas like Clemson, oh.
Right.
You know, like mm-hmm. what are you going to do when you get punched in the mouth? You haven't punched in the mouth in a year.
Is the schedule going to win out? It's the team that's been tested more going to be the one that wins out in that? Whether the versus the team who's kind of slow built it and tried to peak to this point in the season. Yeah, I'm very, very interested to see that because the numbers with Clemson, you know, they're really good, but do they have any type of paper champion in them at all? Where they're just smothering bad teams, you know, not necessarily bad teams, just teams that they're just, you know, two or three tiers above.
Yeah. But you also have on the other hand, too, where, like, they are really freaking – like, Travis Etienne, really freaking
good. And T. Higgins is balling it. Their receiver, number 5, T. Higgins, has been a freak show the last month of the season.
So, I don't know. I also, like –
scary thing with Clemson, whenever you play them, they've got freakazoids at receiver, and those jump balls that – are either incomplete or down right there if they catch it against everyone else turn into 78-yard touchdowns. Like that's how they blew the top off Alabama. Those one-on-ones they caught and ran for scores against anybody else, that ball's either out of bounds, incomplete, or down as soon as they catch it. So that's the scary part, I think, about Clemson. But I think Ohio State has got the O-line. I think they got the running game to really keep Clemson off balance, both with the quarterback and with Dobbins. So, I mean, I'm just very interested to watch that game. I think
it's
going to
be
awesome
a really
game.
Good game. I'm excited to watch it. Now, this is also me marrying into Ohio State family.
Yeah, what's their feel of the game?
I mean, they're just, like, excited for it. And they jumped on the scheduling thing where, you know,
right.
Clemson hadn't played anybody. But I've also just learned to – I know a lot of people in Kentucky hate Ohio State. Yeah, I hate Clemson so much more now. Dabo can kick rocks.
Right.
I'm so sick of his bull crap. He can get the hell out of here, just like Jack Pilgrim can get the hell out of here. Hey, see you later, Jack.
Salute.
So I'm all the way out on Dabo. What I'm all the way in on, Luckett, is I'm all the way in on – what's the over-under for Oklahoma LSU?
76.5.
I want that over so bad.
Just to say you could play
it. Oh, man, I want the over so bad. Because here's the thing. LSU, they just keep getting better and better. They've gotten better as the season's gone along. But I still think Jalen Hurts is such a – like they their style with him at quarterback is so different
mm-hmm.
than anything they face that he's going to score some points. And I'm hoping that we at least get a fun little shootout for a little while. So Jalen Hurts gets one final last ride.
I'm interested in his game plan because I could see a scenario where he kind of spreads them out, but they just bleed that clock and just run the ball on LSU. And then if they get a couple turnovers maybe early – they maybe just try to sit on it and run, you know, let the clock wind down. But, there's not going to be much stopping for them on LSU unless it's self-inflicted wounds by purple and gold.
Yeah, I didn't hear your boy Grinch in a lot of – it's one guy who towards the end of the year, he didn't get a lot of play for those big – his name weren't in there.
I was surprised, but he wasn't brought up at all at Missouri. That surprised me. But
were you surprised Barry Odom didn't get a call from Justin Fuente?
Yeah, I was a little bit. I don't know what that relationship is or was. It was kind of weird to me that you get rid of Fuente, or excuse me, you get rid of Foster, but you just promote a guy that's all Virginia Tech too.
Yeah, and they hired a dude, right? The former linebacker.
Yeah, Daryl Tapp. He was like an All-American, like edge player,
like in the mid-2000s.
Right.
So you're just getting more Bud Foster guys.
Right.
So
there's a weird, I think, dynamic with keeping the culture, the Virginia Tech kind of lunch pill culture, but also
got to keep bringing your lunch.
But also Fuente trying to establish his own. And when you look at Virginia Tech, their recruiting class this year stinks right now. They've got about 15 recruits, no blue chips. They're towards the bottom of the ACC, and so this is a weird time right now. He might just be trying to just get some recruiters in there. That might be why he's doing that, getting Tapp and that Justin Hamilton.
Yeah, maybe so.
And I think he replaces his receiver coach too. But who knows?
I'm interested to see there goes Louisiana Tech rusting away. Oh, and he slides. They're going to lose 7-0. That's hilarious.
No timeouts left. They might be close to kneeing it out, Tom.
Gosh, Miami's going to lose to Louisiana Tech.
Skip Holtz undefeated, Louisiana Tech in bowls.
Man, Skip Holtz.
Miami's going to drop to 1-9 in their last 10 bowl games.
I don't know. I guess I thought he had moved on, but he used to have some fun games when Brom was at Western Kentucky.
When he was at ECU?
Well, no.
Louisiana Tech, yeah.
Yeah, and he had Jeff Driskel, which – hilarious that Jeff Driskel and David Blau now are like the Lions quarterbacks.
I know.
Gosh. Jeff, he Sindelar decided he's not going to play.
I saw that. Was that a surprise?
I think so. I also think it was – why aren't you – come on. Why are you?
It might just be so many injuries. He's just
– which I can't blame him. You blow your knees out and shoulders out that much.
Ready to go drink some beer.
Yeah. So I can't blame him too much. Okay. We also got to talk about the game that – who do you want – just a ridiculous – going to be a ridiculous matchup. Mississippi State and Louisville. Our boy Joe Moorhead. Those wheels are shaking. He's got a defensive player punching his quarterback in the face after practice, breaking his face. He broke his face. broken orbital bone in his face. And now Garrett Schrader, your QB1, the guy who has been your best option all year, is out for the bowl game against Louisville. A game that you got your first vote of confidence, but they could have really used a bowl bump. And now they don't have QB1 going to the Music City Bowl.
One of the two guys in that punchy melee has to be the ultimate turd. Even that defensive lineman is just a straight up punk or an idiot. Or just being a jackass, for no other words. Or Schrader is such a turd that they're jawing back and forth with the reports, and no lineman is going to step in and make sure nothing happens.
Yeah.
So.
Or Schrader, he's a North Carolina guy. He's a Charlotte guy. Maybe he just thinks he's such a badass that he can take a lick from anybody. And one of these dudes from Mississippi was like, no, you ain't taking this punch, buddy.
No, brother.
Oh, man.
So, I mean,
to what be kind a of, fly on the wall.
Oh, I know. What kind of locker room ineptitude
God.
You got going on over there? And then I keep going back to that. Feinbaum was in town.
Oh, that
and he
interview.
Grilled the hell out of Moorhead and their AD.
John Cohen, yeah.
And they all kind of gave nondescript answers. So I was with you, and I was like, well, he's gone for sure.
Yeah.
But he's still here. We'll see how
Man, Joe goes. Moorhead. That was weird. Are there any other big bowl games that you wanna get to? And just on that note, Louisville has a chance to win it now. I thought Mississippi State was going to be able to run it down their throat. But if you got Tommy Stevens
right.
in there, they're
that
so
helps.
Weird.
That
they're
helps
so
sure.
weird. So I think Louisville actually has a shot now. Before we talk again, I think we're going to have Alabama-Michigan. And is Saban just kept all of the people not playing quiet? Or are they all playing?
There were some reports out that most of them were going to play. The two big ones were Trayvon Diggs, starting corner number 7, and Terrell Lewis, edge rusher number 24. They're not playing, but both of those guys have serious injury histories.
Okay.
So it made sense. But, like, all those receivers, like, they're all playing. And Harbaugh, man, he dude can't catch a break sometimes. You know? I mean, so now they're all playing. And
that'd be a big
there are more people playing
than
we probably thought going into the season, in my opinion.
I think they shouted it on the Independence Bowl, but I do think there's a serious Josh Allen bump where, like, I think NFL scouts like the competitiveness. Now, they're going to understand if you're a running back and you're, you know, like, I think they're going to have some situations where they get it. But I think
you're Fournette or McCaffrey.
Yeah, exactly. But I think everyone else, though, they're like, well, this makes plenty of sense. Well, and you look at a guy like Jalen Smith, he's still making $20 million or whatever it was.
Yeah, it just cost him that first big paycheck.
Yeah, but he's still got his second big paycheck. Mm-hmm. So I think that there was a big overreaction. And what NFL scouts are telling these guys is, we want to see how you do on a big stage. And Josh Allen proved it last year. Now, he didn't end up getting that number one overall bump, but still got top 10 money.
Yeah.
So.
But the Alabama receivers, that surprises me, because all those guys are first-round picks.
Yeah. There's also, I bet playing Michigan, like, you want to kick their ass.
Right.
You know?
That helps, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
The logo,
like you're
for
not,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm excited. We get to watch a lot of football over the next few days. My number one game, I'm going to be drunk as a skunk, tweeting cheese bowl. Like I already know that I'm going to be in that hotel room.
It's going to be fun.
Slamming down some. I got a lot of Christmas bourbon this year. It was, I guess they're like
a nice little selection,
baby stuff and bourbon. So mm-hmm. I think they're trying to tell me something. Get it in while you can.
Kansas State plays Navy. In the Liberty Bowl, New Year's Eve, I think it's the game after Kentucky, Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Game might end in 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's going to be nothing but running the ball. It's a couple 10-minute drives sprinkled in there.
Oh, man, some punts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got an inkling that Minnesota could be walking into a buzzsaw down in Tampa.
Who they got?
Auburn.
But that's a weird game in that neither team has their OCs. I mean, Malzahn is going to be calling the plays.
Yeah, Malzahn calls the plays, so that's fine. But, yeah, Minnesota loses their offensive coordinator, you know, a game week.
Yeah. To Penn State.
Right.
A team you beat this year.
Right. A team in your conference. And so, like, I just don't know what the dynamic there is. I think they could be kind of reeling because that Wisconsin game was huge.
Yeah.
And they went from potential Rose Bowl down to Outback Bowl, which is still a big game for them. But where's your confidence level? And then Auburn is fresh off that just annihilation of Purdue. I've never seen a football team beat somebody like Auburn did Purdue in the Mississippi Bowl last year. And that was off where they got kind of embarrassed against UCF.
Yeah.
And I'm also wondering if Georgia does the same thing to Baylor maybe next year, where they coming off that embarrassing performance against Texas. Look at old Skip Holtz getting the water bath.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
And do they bounce back and kind of make a statement against Baylor? And then, of course, the Rose Bowl, it's always fun to watch.
Yeah, I do expect Georgia to just smack the hell out of Baylor. I think they have some paper tiger in them just because they're playing in the Big 12 and they are the only team that plays defense. Right.
And just, well, if a pissed off Georgia team shows up. But there won't be many punts in Mississippi State Louisville. I'm going to tell you that right now.
No. Colin
that
Hill.
That total sitting at 63.5.
Colin Hill, does he get over 300? He's going to get at least 250, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's getting 200, I would think, for sure.
Yeah, walk that up. Whatever prop bets they have out there on Uncle Bo, ooh, which, by the way, you know, let's go ahead and do that right now. Let's just a quick scan to see if they have that out there. Because it's got to be in your – whatever that line is, I went over it on Colin Hill rushing yards. So I'm clicking on – let's see. Just getting total points. No, I don't have any of those yet. But if you find one on Colin Hill, take that to the bank. And I'm taking Kentucky to the bank.
I think slugfest, like we said. I think it's going to be a low-scoring, close game. I could, like, the winner, I think, gets to probably, like, 20 points. First one to 20, I think, has got a pretty good chance to win it. But, like always, bowl games are weird, man. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if Lynn Bowden comes out and throws for 200 yards in this game. You know, it wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Things are going to get weird down in Charlotte. I'm excited to make the trip and be on the road all day tomorrow, Friday, and then have a full slate of bowl games to watch. It's going to be a good time. Kentucky, we get to watch the big blue wall mow dudes down one more time. Enjoy Lynn Bowden while you got him. Enjoy it. It's going to be a fun ride.
Last hurrah.
And it's going to be a nice hurrah to ride into some offseason momentum for what will surely be an historic 2020 Kentucky football season. Thank you all so much for listening. Go Cats. Go Kroger.